This is James Gillen, and I'm your host tonight. We've got another great show, and we've got some pretty crazy things coming on up here at the mountain. We went out last night for a sky watch, and we saw, in probably right around 30 minutes, we saw up to 50 ships. And so the skies are just crazy above us. If you've got clear skies, I would really suggest getting out and, probably I'd say between the hours of 9 and 10 and or 11 and watch what's going on up there, because we had just ships crossing paths, saying hi to each other, flashing each other, big power-ups, making turns, just all kinds of crazy things. And it's been, as long as we've got clear skies up here, we've been seeing a lot of activity. So things are buzzing, you know, in the higher dimensions and in the heavens right now. So it's a matter of paying attention or watching the skies and going within, because the messages are coming in and people are being contacted all over the world right now. And actually governments are starting to come forward and talk about that. Like Brazil, they're actually opening the door for contact on the highest levels. So a lot of neat things happening out there. I want to get into our guest right away. We've got a great guest on tonight's show. We've got Craig, I think it's Campobasso. I hope I'm saying it right.
Perfect.
But he's fresh out of high school, California native. Craig Campobasso found himself working behind the scenes for 4 years on Frank Herbert's Dune. The father and daughter producing team, Dino and Rafaela de Laurentiis, I guess, and director David Lynch were Craig's mentors in the business of filmmaking. Craig is also producing, directing, and casting his short film Stranger at the Pentagon, based on a book now in post-production, which is the launching pad for the feature-length film. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Craig on the show. Craig, are you with us?
I am, and you said all the names perfectly, by the way, including mine.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, I got a little stumped on Laurentiis there. But
De Laurentiis.
Yeah, De Laurentiis. But anyway, we got through it. The, it's amazing you're putting this, it's perfect timing, putting this film out. And I've always been fascinated by, you know, that story, and I'd love to go more in depth into it. So,
sure.
I find it interesting. Was it Valiant Thor, I believe it was, who was actually working with the Pentagon?
Yes.
And yes, what was the nature of his work there at the Pentagon?
Well, he came on Saturday, March 16th, at 1957 at 8 a.m. in the morning, landed in a craft in an agricultural field in Alexandria, Virginia. There were some calls into the police station. The police met the craft and had their guns drawn on it. And when he walked out, they just lowered their weapons because they just, you know, and had a conversation with him because they just knew this man was good. Anyway, you know, so he was, he said he had a message for the president at the time, which was Eisenhower. And so they radioed into the Pentagon. The Pentagon said to bring him there after he met with the Secretary of Defense. And he was then whisked over to, they brought everybody in on Saturday, Nixon and Eisenhower and some of the and the Joint Chiefs, and they all had a meeting. And what he did is he came with a divine design to eliminate sickness, disease, poverty, and how to prolong life. That was his initial reason for also coming here. Eisenhower put him on VIP status. And they decided that the allotted time to discuss this proposal, which was supposed to go, which Valiant Thor wanted Eisenhower to implement first through the United States and then the world, was 3 years. But he did live and work there at the Pentagon. They did want the ultra technology, their technology is a higher class spiritual technology than most of the other crafts and things that are coming in. But he did, I know that he did help them with the regulation of the spacesuits at the time, because all the astronauts kept getting extremely sick and were throwing up. So it was a something with the regulation. I remember Dr. Frank told me, when they were doing that. And then, you know, I thought it was interesting because didn't we go to the moon like right in the early 60s?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so there you go. Maybe, you know, who knows?
Yeah, he should have just taken the astronauts up there and dropped them off and then
Dropped them off.
Saved us a heck of a lot of money.
But I met Dr. Frank first in 2001. I read Stranger at the Pentagon and really was fascinated with the story and the photographs taken of Valiant Thor, one of his vice commanders, Dawn, and another lady on the ship. Her name is Jill. Her husband is a vice commander on the ship named Zan, and Z-A-N-N. And she, you know, she just sort of came along for the ride that day when the photographs were taken by a retired Air Force photographer, as a matter of fact.
And were those? Did you get a copy of those photographs? For your
Yeah, they're on the internet. People can go check it out at strangerathepentagon.com. I've got some of the movie promos up there. I did, you know, the story of Valiant Thor, and actually tagged the end of the video with Dr. Frank telling about his first meeting with Valiant Thor. And then there's a couple little movie promos. There's movie stills. You know, there's everything, you know, that all about the project, the short film and the feature-length film. You know, everything that we have thus far. So everybody can, you know, take a gander there. And then we just, you know, we're just right now in post-production on the short film. So we're just going into the visual effects because we're going to actually see Victor 1 coming to Earth. And we're going to be on board Victor 1, and we're going to be, which is Valiant Thor's flagship that holds 200 people, and it's actually a Victor class fleet of saucers. So there's Victor 1, Victor 2, Victor 3, and so on. So the whole fleet is here and is still here, and then there's a giant starship that's 7 miles wide and 14 miles long. And I know I have the photographs or an artist rendering and the blueprints to Victor 1 are also on the website. I'm not sure if I have the starship on there, but I do have an artist rendering of that as well. That was done by Dr. Frank, who he hired an artist to draw it.
That's I guess their version of a stretch limousine in space, huh?
Well, there's a lot of really cool stuff on those craft, you know. I mean,
where are they going to park that thing? I mean,
park it. They had to actually build it in space. They built it outside of Venus because Valiant Thor and some of his crew are actually from the interior of Venus and that all Dr. Frank said that he had told him that all the planets throughout our galaxy are populated, but they're all populated on the interior. And a lot of people find that hard to believe, and you know, I sort of thought it until it was brought into my realm how they engineer the giant oval mothership, not oval, but giant orb motherships, and how each floor can have an infinite sky, which, you know, you'd never know that you were not outdoors. Or they have synchrotron skies, which go from day to night, you know, things like that. So, and they can create a whole setting of, like, our beautiful Earth, a lake and all of that, you know, on these crafts as well. And it's just as real as it is here.
That's the type of traveling I'd like to be doing. You know, sitting in these cramped little airline seats isn't cutting it for me.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Dr. Frank did go on a few trips. He went on several trips with them when they would go and do things. I know one time he called me and said that he was there and they had gone to India. Val had something to do there, and he happened to be on the craft, and they went there. And then when I saw Dr. Frank, he gave me a whole bunch of shirts from India.
Wow.
He's like, oh, my God, you won't believe how cheap stuff is there. I said, see, that's the way I want to travel. I want to travel without a passport.
Yeah, I've always said that. You know, we have the technology right now. We could walk out, hop in our little beam ship, and go to Australia and have breakfast, you know, in the morning.
Yeah.
Or anywhere we want to go or on the planet. And that's really the way it should be. And I really don't believe in borders anyway. I respect cultures and their beliefs and things like that. But borders are kind of ridiculous now.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Now the other thing, I just received from Bethany, I'm not sure where her last name is, but she's John Savage, the producer of Contact Has Begun, his daughter. And she just sent me three or four photos that she took of this massive turquoise ship, kind of colored ship, right next to the moon, moving around. You know, you can see it definitely moving around. And when she blew up this ship, it looked like a planet almost. I mean, it was massive.
Wow. Yeah.
And I actually got I got the photographs. I just got them actually yesterday. And I've been looking at them. I'll have to send you a copy of that. But I'm wondering if that might be one of his
ships.
Well,
there's a lot of them from all the different systems. So, you know, some of those are Sirian. Some of them are you know, out of the Pleiades. Some of them are, I forget what some of these other systems are. My primary stuff deals with a lot of Melchizedek and the teachings that come out of there. So, you know, with the writings and things that, you know, that I've done. It's an interesting story. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I was working on a book for many, many years, and there was one day when I was meditating, and I'm sure this happens to you, all of a sudden you'll see somebody from another world pop in.
Yeah.
You know, and this beautiful woman with red hair parted on the side with porcelain white skin and green eyes and a tight space suit was standing outside of a beautiful giant silver saucer. And she was just beaming at me. And, you know, this is at the time when I was writing my book, which is called The Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial Saga, I Am Taran. And at that time, and that was it. It was in the early 90s. I just never forgot her. I didn't know who she was. And when I moved into my place that I'm in now in 2001, I read Stranger at the Pentagon in the 80s, and when I set up my couches, every time I walked by my couches, I felt Valiant Thor and his crew sitting on my couches. And this went on for months and months and months and months. And it was just, it wasn't like I saw them, but I could see them physically vibrating there. And and then within, I think it was just within a month or two, I think it was about 2 months, I met Dr. Frank.
Uh-huh.
So I was. So then, of course, I put two and two together. I said, well, I think maybe they were connecting me to Dr. Frank. So so then, long story short, you know, Dr. Frank, after we, you know, I met him right away, we hit it off, and he told me he was going, you know, to go visit them. And when he came back, after I had met him, I started remembering this woman with the red hair, and he actually said, when he came back, he said, well, Teal wanted me to give you a big hello, and I said, who's that? And he said, she's a vice commander on Victor One, and I went, oh, my God, does she have red hair? You know, I started to describe her, and he looked at me and was like, yeah, how do you know that? You know, because she's not mentioned at all in Stranger at the Pentagon. So I made the connection that I was already connecting with them with the writings and things like that, you know, way earlier on. But then even when we fast forward a couple of years, the thing that was that really, really was amazing is I had eaten something that didn't agree with me, and after 3 days of intense stomach cramping, I went to the doctor. I was there all day, and then they rushed me to the hospital that night, and I had a bowel obstruction. And they said they were going to have to operate in the morning. And when I went to sleep that night, I felt teal. I was in twilight, and I felt bubbles going all through my intestines. And I woke up in the morning, and sitting on the side of my bed was Dr. Frank, and he goes, "Teal called me this morning. She told me she fixed you up."
Oh, nice.
So that was like a great, you know, sort of like thing. And of course, they did X-rays again just to be sure. And of course, everything was fine. And I was, you know, I went home later on that day.
Nice. Yeah, I love to hear stories like that. We've had quite a few here where people have gone in, you know, and you know, we've had people check themselves out of the hospital basically and come here and with tumors and bleeding ulcers and things. And I don't recommend it, you know, but it's happened, you know, where their belief was so strong that they were going to be healed when they got here, and they actually did. And they went back and got X-rays and broken wrists, you know, healed overnight and things like that. But I tell people, look, I don't take credit or blame for it. You know, if it gets healed or doesn't get healed, it's between you and them, whatever happens.
That's right. Yeah. And Zan, who I mentioned before, who's a vice commander, he's actually the ship's doctor, but he's the ship's doctor for the starseeds, not for them, of course. So, you know, so they do have all kinds of
visit. I need a checkup.
Actually, they have a machine that's really cool. It's very, it's like long and oblong, and it's like pure gloss white on the outside, and you lay in it, and it's got these long tubes of blue and green light, and when they pull it over you, it actually reads your entire medical history from the time you were born until present, and there's different ways of healing and things like that, but there's sometimes they can go back to a time when your body was perfect, and then they can do a reset.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many different ways of healing and all different kinds of things, but it's really interesting. But it not only reads your physical, but your mental and your emotional, and you know if you're progressing correctly with what you came here to do, you know, all those kinds of things. So,
can I give them a list of people that I would love to put in that machine? Because
sure.
I know a few people that kind of got hijacked, you know, by some other forces, you might say, that were on a very good path and a high path, but they got kind of hijacked, you know, and made some decisions that took them, you know, on a downward spiral, but I guess that's their business.
I know.
If we could
I know.
Just give them a to-do list, you know, say, "Hey, could you work on this with this person?"
Well, his name's Zan. Just call on Zan.
Sounds good. Actually, a lot of that's already happening because just through you know, meditation and prayer and just releasing the past and doing our own healing, we help others. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, also, as you know, all of us being a part of God when we're praying to God, that that other part of God can come in and help as well.
Because you asked.
You never know
how it's going to come. You know, don't judge the healing because it may come in many, many ways. And I've also seen, too, is that, you know, they talk about universal law, you know, and they say, well, you know, these people need some hard lessons because that's the way they set it up, and who are we to interfere in their program, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But then there's, you know, star seeds are a little bit different unless they set something up specifically to grow from, you know, as well, because the main purpose is raising consciousness. gets out by the lot, a lot of people get stuck, and then they need a little boot, a little restart. So they might create a little sickness, you know.
Yeah. You know, I've seen that over and over again where, and right now especially, I'm getting just flooded with emails with people that are basically saying they are under full-blown attack by some of the darker forces and energies, and especially the light workers. And people around them, closest to them, their friends, their lovers, their family, are just coming unglued. And, you know, other entities are jumping in them. Just all kinds of craziness happening out there. And I know that the light workers and the star seeds are having a real rough time right now holding a frequency with all the other chaos going on.
Right, yes. And, you know, the thing is to make sure that, you know, everybody meditates every day to keep that clear and to keep your protection shield up. And, you know, I myself always call on Michael and call on any of the masters, as anybody knows, you know, to enforce that shield. And, but also, you know, say anything that is not of, you know, Son of Christ energy cannot penetrate that shield as well, unless they want to come face to face with their own Christhood. You know, that keeps them away.
Yeah, it usually does.
They don't want that.
Now, there's some interesting things happening lately. This is kind of a walk on the wild side, but this Archon Network, we've talked a lot about it, which is some of the regenerate ETs and discarnate spirits and things like that. Is getting a little crazy out there, and their world is coming to a close because our world is moving to the next level. The Earth herself is shifting in her process of moving to the next level. So these other groups have to either, you know, evolve with the program or get off the bus, basically.
Right, yeah,
And they seem to be just going nuts right now. The people seen and unseen, basically, are just flipping out right now with these new energies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely are. I know a lot of people that that are going through that as well. So, but it's, you know, but here again, the main thing is to you know, especially don't eat meat, don't eat all of the things that will lower your vibration so that they can get in. You keep doing things that are going to raise your vibration. So, you know, if it, you know, I still eat fish, but I don't eat meat or fowl or, you know, chicken, any of that anymore. Haven't done it for years and years and years. And I've had since then such an immense clarity. You know,
we've here, you know, the whole ranch here, all of a sudden we just kind of shifted. We were eating a little bit because we're living on a vortex right now, and just to stay grounded, you know, we would eat meat every once in a while, and now we're shifting away from that, because it's time, you know, it's time, and eating a lot less, you know, just now and then, depending on how it feels, you know, and what kind of meat. Like I just, like you, I loved eating fish, and I'll eat buffalo because it's a whole different meat, you know.
Dang,
when I eat. Just melts in your mouth and it goes right into your system. You know, I had a yoga teacher once tell me that she said most people are trying to ascend and get out of here, and she said you're trying to get back, you know, back on the planet, you know. And it was kind of funny because of the near death experiences I've had and all the other things. So it is kind of interesting, but you know, even the Dalai Lama I think eats meat now and then, according to his own words, basically.
Yes,
but it is. I think we need to clean up our act and eat as close to the earth as we can and get as natural as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just, you know, again, just, you know, just work on yourself every day, you know, in every situation, and handling things with grace and dignity, so that, you know, so that vibration just becomes a part of you every day, and then those things can't even get in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so...
What I've seen is that, you know, this network, whatever you want to call it, the darkness, you know, the negativity,
the
whatever you call it, usually it's working out of the first three chakras, which are survival, sex, and power. And it really has a hard time messing with you from the heart on up, you know. And so when you're in the heart and you're working from the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions, it can't really mess with those. But it will try to nail you, you know, through. I don't want to say the first three chakras through whatever is discordant in those first three chakras. It'll find your hooks and play you like a fiddle.
Yeah, it plays on your fears.
Yeah.
You know. On your survival and fears, and especially, you know, tries to make you think that other people are doing things to you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And
you know, crazy stuff.
yeah, I know. You just go, what? You know, I've had that happen to me. I've been accused of things, and I just go, where is this coming from? You know, and where's the foundation for this, or where this is all based on assumption and gossip? And I'll just confront it straight up. I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it. Where are you getting your information, and you know, where is this coming from? And it usually ends up to being people's own victim patterns, or
yes.
They have a sense of entitlement or something. They didn't get something they believe was they were entitled to or wanted from another person, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
no, that's right. That's right. But I just a quick little meditation that's really quick if those things are happening and they're in there is to put a big oval magnet above your head with your imagination and let that magnet pull all of these other people's thoughts and negativity, all that stuff, just pull it up into the magnet and then let the magnet turn into pink and purple and then gold light. So anything that has to go through those colors has to be transformed. So, and it's like a real quick process. So if you're in the middle of your day and you can just sit for like a minute and do that, it really, really, really helps. So it just helps, you know, pull your focus right back in.
Yeah, we used to do things like that with the Tibetan Foundation where we'd take it would be like a white cheesecloth, and we'd stand on it, and we'd pull it up through our entire body, and it would just pick up all the negative and put it into a sack, and then we'd just see it disappear. You know,
oh, that's great. That's great imagery as well. That's really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it definitely works. You know, I don't know why I don't do it more often, but, you know,
we forget. I even forget. Sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, you know, why don't I just go do that?
Sometimes with the stuff flying at us here, I think our magnet would crush us if it fell on us. being a vortex, you know, it's like the moths come to the flame, you know. So we're on constant clear mode here. Maybe I'll just install one above the ranch or something.
So has any of these beings ever sort of showed themselves there at the ranch?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We've had, it's kind of a, you know, with that higher consciousness and energy comes a responsibility to clear what's within it. So the vortex energy here, it's such a high frequency that when people come to the ranch, they have amazing uplifting energy happens to them. You know, but at the same time, all their issues come up.
Sure.
And also, too, when those issues are flying around, the other entities like to jump in and activate it and accelerate it and have a field day with it and feed off of it. So it's a lot of work, you know, just to maintain the consciousness and energy here.
I'm sure. But it's good because it's clearing, and that, you know, each time it gets cleared, that when that person is cleared and they go back out into society, it helps to clear others as well. And that's how we just keep raising up and raising up and raising up.
Exactly. It's the unified field, you know. We're putting a big dent in the unified field by holding the frequency here. And with all the people coming through and changing their energies, it affects the whole collective.
Yeah. It's amazing. I wonder what that spark is going to be like when it actually changes.
Yeah, when it ignites into the full flame, you know,
it's going to be really cool.
They call that critical mass or the 100th monkey, you know, when
Yeah.
You know, I've been just trying to figure out a way I could just, you know, go down and get a blowtorch and just ignite it. You know, because it's really getting old down here. A lot of us have been tested to the nth of our whatever. But, you know, it's amazing. But, yeah, I feel it's, you know, it's just empowering. And we've all done this before. And that's why we're here now. And we just have to remember where we came from and why we're here.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's so many, I mean, that right now, so many people have woken up like you. I get tons and tons of emails and, you know, and sometimes people leave messages and things like that. And it's just, it's so incredible to just hear their stories and that they just, you know, feel like some of them are in the middle of nowhere and feel all alone, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about that with people that come here. You know, they come here and they go, this is home to them, and they feel like all the dimensions open up and their star families connect with them, and they see the nature kingdom, you know, and then the fairies and gnomes and everything else, which we photograph on a daily basis here, it seems like. And
wow.
This place is wall-to-wall orbs, you know, light spheres everywhere. But,
yeah.
You know, yeah, people come here and they have these amazing experiences, and then they go, "Oh crap! How am I going to deal with this when I go home? You know, who am I going to talk to? You know, how am I going to even share this? You know,
do you ever get like giant Glinda the Good Witch orbs?
Oh yeah, I have two pictures of two sitting right out in front of where I'm broadcasting from the tower here.
And oh, that's good. You know that's angel consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. These things, there's a giant gold one and a giant blue one walking right. It's like two beings side by side, but they're on the ground and they're walking, and we caught the fields around two beings, I believe, walking towards the tower here. And it's just, I have it in my presentation, and it's just an amazing picture when you look at it. I mean, I'll have to measure them according to the door, but they're, you know, easily, I would say, you know, 8 or 9 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's angel consciousness.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get the big ones. When I've gone also to the Integratron, have you ever been out there?
Actually, I'm going to go out there to Joshua Tree to do a lecture here. I think it's in August. I just signed up for it, so I will be going out.
You know what? You have to go. Just go to the Integratron site and email them through there. Joanne is one of the owners. Three sisters own it. Just tell them you're a friend of mine, and so they'll take you through. Oh my! You'll just have the best time there. But you will get hundreds, if not thousands, of orbs on camera there. And I've even caught some diamond orbs there, which are very rare.
Oh, we have those here all the time. And the last conference we had, the whole conference building was full of these huge diamond orbs.
Wow, wow.
They told me those are Arcturian. You know, they're connected
really?
To the Arcturian.
Okay, well, that's good. That's really good because they're really advanced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of that here. We get all, you know, we're getting these strange orbs now. I gave a talk in Yelm at the Yelm Triad Theater, and they took a picture of this orb, and it looked like a little mini spaceship right over my head while I was talking. It was pretty interesting. You know, so we're getting some real strange ones right now.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, going back to the Valiant Thor, I find it interesting. Now, I haven't met these beings that I know of. I've dealt a lot with the Pleiadians and with the Orion Council of Light and with the Andromedans and the Sirians. Some of my favorites are these Sirian feline beings that are fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional beings, you know, all the way up to like these lion beings that they talked about in the past, that in ancient past that are coming in. For these times, you know, they're like the protectors of the gods, you know, are coming to the earth right now to help with this shift.
Yeah.
But the Valiant Thor people or that group that I know of, I haven't made their acquaintance. I would love to. I'll have to sit down and meditate on them and see if I can
Yeah, Victor 1 is, it's still, yeah, they're all still here. There's, I think, about two, I think it's the Victor class saucers are stationed in over 287 sections in and around the Earth. Victor 1 is actually stationed at Lake Mead, so if you just sort of concentrate there. A lot of times, even when Dr. Frank was alive, he used to tell me that even when I was with him, they would be watching watching and listening, you know, on the ship and hearing, you know, our conversations and things like that. And I do know that, you know, when he did radio shows, sometimes if they liked them, they would broadcast them. They'd send them through the broadcast throughout the universe and things like that, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is just different, unique, and but they're they're really, really, really loving loving beings. When I was writing the screenplay and stuff, they all came and shared their feeling body with me. So you know, and I got it, and you know what that's like. You just go into nirvana and just start weeping because they're so beautiful on the inside. So
makes it rough staying here on Earth, doesn't it?
Well, what it does is it really makes you miss being in that consciousness, but then it's a great reminder that you're here to help, you know, the Earth join the fully conscious beings throughout the rest of the universe. That's that's, you know, the purpose. I mean, they have pulled people even from we're in the seventh super universe, but they have even pulled people from the great I Am world in the very first super universe created. You know, that some of these beings have sent their soul, parts of their soul and essence here to also help with the raising. So, I mean, they're going all the way back from the beginning. That's how important this planet is.
Yeah, I've been receiving the same question. You know, what's really interesting is they were talking to me about, and this almost, you know, sometimes they talk and it sounds almost biblical, you know, some of the things, the way they talk about things. And they talk a lot about, you know, the real God, you know, the frequency, the force, the pure consciousness and energy, you know, the pure bliss and things of that nature. But lately they're actually telling me that there's beings that emulate that essence.
Yeah.
And they have a name and they've totally become one with that essence, and they're on the God being level that are here right now and to assist, you know, in this major awakening and healing process.
Yeah, those are called Paradise Sons. Mm-hmm. They're the actual Godhead energy incarnate, and they're the ones who actually are the ones who set up and oversee universes and super universes. Mm-hmm. So, and it's quite spectacular.
Yeah.
You
now,
know,
do they talk about the process and how things are going here and maybe kind of what they've been up against or anything of that nature?
Do you know, I don't know what they're really up against. I don't go into that. I just stay in my sort of flow of, you know, bringing, you know, the positive stuff, you know, to Earth. But I'm sure that there's lots of challenges and things. I mean, when I was actually writing the script, I said to Dr. Frank, I said, you know, this is really an interesting story. I said, because here you have a man who is an immortal being, who is an angel in human form, Valiant Thor, who is going with something, you know, to dualistic men who are power hungry, especially back in the 50s, and this is right after Hitler, you know, and is going to go throw his energy in the pool there. And, you know, they don't care that he's an angel. They just want that space technology, or they just want what he knows, you know. So that, and that he knew every thought and action they were going to do before they did it.
I know.
You know,
it's funny because I've been having the same experience on some levels because, you know, when you reach a certain level, though you don't talk about it too much, is your telepathic abilities really heightened.
Yes.
And you're around people that are pulling shenanigans or are just projecting thoughts towards you on their concepts of who you should be and how you should act and what you should do and things like that. And you hear all of it, but you have to just kind of hang out and just say, oh, okay, you know, it's like, I understand this because I did the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And,
absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, knowing, you know, I mean, Dr. Frank said, you know, when he first went to Victor One in 1968, and one of the permanent crew members is a gentleman by the name of Yo. His name is Y-O, and he's a Cyclops of all things.
Wow.
And Dr. Frank said when he first saw him, he said, in my head, I went, oh, my God, you are one funny-looking guy. And then, of course, Yo looked back at him. He goes, yeah, you're pretty funny looking, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So.
I had one of those experiences, an inner Earth experience like that, where a small little guy in robes, you know, was standing next to 2 8-foot-tall human beings, you know, in robes. And I go, what a cute little guy. And boy, he sent a thought form to me that gave me a headache you couldn't believe. But he was the leader, you know. He was like the Yoda, you might say.
So,
You can't judge a book by its cover, you know. And especially you have to be careful of your thoughts in that arena because they're all telepathic and they know exactly
right.
what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then they all know all of us down here and what we're dealing with. So they are a lot more lenient. So.
Oh, yeah. I talked to one of them about that. I said, you must see us like monkeys down here. And they said, oh, no. I said, you guys are the bravest of angels. Like, we can't believe what you're dealing with. And
That's right.
And how hard it is to deal with it, especially, you know, if you are very sensitive and are gifted just to deal with the energies down here. They're involved in what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even angels from all over have even siphoned off parts of their soul to come here and incarnate for the experience as well. I mean, it's not only to help raise it, but it's also a massive learning experience for a soul that never got to experience duality. Teal on the ship is extremely. She loves the dualistic nature and studies it, you know, and she actually gives classes to people across the universe about everything that she's learned about the dualistic nature of Earth and all of that because everybody, you know, nobody has a concept of it because, you know, they don't really experience it.
Does anybody believe her? I can see her sitting around the campfire saying, you know, there's this planet called Earth and these people... You know, they totally kill each other and they destroy their environment and they actually believe they're separate, you know. And you can see everybody around the camper go, no way. Nobody would do that, you know. And they believe they're the only ones in the universe. And she goes, they really do exist, you know. And they go, prove it. You know, I don't believe that. You know, it'd be like us trying to tell people a UFO landed in our front yard, you know, the same thing.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. You know what they must even think. You know, James, I sit around and I say, my God, being a fully conscious being and then being a fully conscious angelic being and being here and having the feeling bodies that they do, which are so heightened, and they're able to see all of the horrors that go on Earth on a daily basis, what they must go through.
Yeah, and I always have a vision of them monitoring everything, you know, and they're guiding people and saying, okay, you know, here's your contract, this is what you agreed to do. And they just see people totally sabotage their whole process, you know, and everything. And I know these guys are on the ship just like smacking themselves in the forehead with their hand going, oh my God, they did it again. You know, I can't believe that. You know, it's like they were so close, you know. But yeah. I bet there's got to be a lot of head smacking going on the ships.
Well, you know, the in the book I wrote, it's all about the star season. It's all about Melchizedek, and it's all about that program and raising consciousness and coming here. So all of those areas are addressed there. So I know them well just from writing. That book took me 25 years to write, actually.
Doing a self-mastery class one time, and I was getting a message from Jesus that was coming in, and it was kind of interesting, and he was talking about patience and how we, and you know, at the end of it he said some of us have been waiting 2,000 years, you know. So it really puts things in perspective, you know. If we you know, we want everything to happen fast and quick and everybody to just get it and move on, but you know, it's a process. And you know, they've been watching out after us for a couple thousand years plus, probably 600 million years. But
yeah,
but they, you know, it's a process, and I guess you know, we need to be a little more compassionate about the process.
Yeah, I think you know, I think a lot of people go through various stages, you know, of waking up. You know, they wake up, it's incredibly beautiful. Then there's the reality of it. And then your belief systems and reality shift, and then you miss home, and then you get angry, and then you burn off that anger, and then you do your mission.
yeah, exactly. And really, it's like a lot of people try to go back. You know, they try to go back into the matrix, you know, or social consciousness, and they think that's where the security lies, not realizing that that old program is coming to an end. And the only real security is to go within and get in touch with your own unique purpose for being here, and start hooking up with, you know, your higher families, you know, that'll help support you in the process.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I remember most that Dr. Frank told me that Thiel had said was everyone should work on themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and then everything will come from that. So, you know, quit worrying, quit, you know, getting involved in everybody else's drama, and just work on yourself spiritually, and then everything will come. And it was just such a great, simple piece of advice.
It really is, yeah. And I love that old saying, there's three types of business. I think it's your business, other people's business, and God's business. And
yeah.
Other people's business is not your business, it's God's business, you know. And that'll free people up, you know, to get on with it. And, you know, and to me, I whenever something happens, I always go, okay, you know, what is it within me that drew this experience? You know, what do I need to learn here? And once you get through it, you'll realize that experience had purposeful good in it. And sometimes, you know, you have to get wounded pretty deep so you can go really deep and get the old wounds out. You know,
healing.
But,
yes, absolutely. You have a lot. There's a. Is there a lot of blue energy on your ranch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We.
Yeah.
Have,
God, I just felt it. I just, when you were talking, I just saw trees and this incredible, like, giant oval of blue energy, and then it just hit my heart, and it was just like so incredibly beautiful, just like that. But it was very strong.
Yeah, we've had. Mary's very connected here, and she appears in this blue field of energy first, appears, and then she just pops in out of it. And there's a lot of blue, you know, the etheric energy is so strong here, you know, the blue field of energy, and a lot of golden energy in here too as well. And
yes,
and
well, those are the two great colors, by the way. You know, by the way, here's a quick thing for all those people going through all the attacks and stuff. Dr. Frank gave me this little thing from Valiant Thor, where when you're meditating is to just imagine yourself standing in the blue flame and let it just burn everything off, all the negativity in your body, and then pull that flame into a pilot light into your heart when you come out of the meditation. He said that was very important. And then you can surround yourself, of course, with the gold light, which is the God-protecting light, as you know. Mm-hmm. So Maybe that's why that energy was coming in.
Yeah, I had a photograph of my aura, and it was just gold. You know, the whole with the little grain in it, but the whole
field
was
gold.
And I like that's where I hang out a lot with in the plane of bliss. I work with the beings, you know, from the plane of bliss. Come through a lot and help out in the classes and workshops and things.
Well, your energy is so blissful. I mean, it really and truly is. You're just so zen, you know. It's
Thank you.
You know, it really and truly is. Even before I met you, just even seeing photographs of you, I just go, oh, my God, that guy is so zen. That is so cool. You know?
I have my moments. I think I'm just reflecting back your own energy to you.
It's okay. Jesus had his moments, too.
Yeah, I always tell people I'm not your guru, I'm not your master. The master's within you, and I have my I have my moments and my lessons, my own unique purpose for being here. So if you're following me, you're lost. You know,
yeah.
So, do a little disclaimer up front. But, I took a crash course to enlightenment. I drowned myself. You know, and they
I do too. I love it. I can't get enough of it, you know?
Learning.
And each time you learn, you just go, oh, my God, there's like a million more things to learn.
Yeah. I always tell people, I finally figured out everything. You know, it all fits perfectly into the great mystery, you know? It makes life easy. But it's pretty crazy out there. This, your film now, it's still in production, correct?
We're in post production now, so we're just going into the visual effects stage, and which we're going to have really cool visual effects. The whole film will probably be about 20 minutes, just getting the music done now. We just got our score done, which I am not kidding you. Our music guy went beyond the beyond, and
nice.
Sounds like a John Williams theme song. It's so cool.
Great.
And, you know, then from there, Tanya, as you know, Maidenford's one of our producers. So she's going to get started on all the titling and all that kind of stuff. So we hope to have it done sometime in the fall. So, you know, and by the way, the book is out of print, and it's like over $100 on Amazon, you know, people who are selling it, you know. But we're still, you know, accepting donations to finish the film. So people can get a download of the movie when it's done, a copy of the book autographed by me, and a little iHeart Valiant Thor bracelet for $25 donation, you know. So, because the film's not going to be for sale. People can only get it, you know, by making a donation, because we're really using it as the springboard to get the big feature film made.
Nice.
Other movies that I've worked on, like Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow, that movie was an independent movie with Jude Law and Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow. That writer director also made a short film. So these are sort of the ways, you know, so that they see your vision. You can tell someone your vision, but when you show it to them, they're more likely to say, "Oh, great, go with it."
Oh yeah. Yeah, I went through several producers and other people, and actually had a big fat check. I can't say who wrote it to me, you know, for like $300,000, believe it or not, if I were to sell my story. But I would have had no rights to it. They would have butchered it.
You have to do it yourself.
The people that were going to try to do it, and I go, there is no way I'm doing this. And so finally, the right people came by, Dreams Come True TV and John Savage and Michael Knight, and they had the consciousness and the ability to do it right, and they just did an amazing job on Contact Has Begun. And, you know, they even did the special effects of the near-death experience, everything. I was just blown away.
Really?
What a good job they did. What's
Maybe
that?
I should get the. I'll have to get their number and see who they also use for visual effects, because I'm still looking for more people. So.
Well, yeah, he actually, his son is a whiz, and he actually had his son.
Really?
Yeah.
You're John Savage's son?
Yeah. He did most
That's
of
amazing.
The,
you know, one of the stars of our
everything.
Film one of the stars of our film is Eileen Davidson, who is on Days of Our Life, and she just did a play with John.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, this is another
yeah.
John Savage. This isn't the actor.
Oh, it's not the actor. Oh,
no,
okay.
It's another one. But
another one.
I can put you in contact with him and if you want.
Oh, I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah. I think it's still on Netflix, and it's on Gaim TV. Contact Has Begun is playing on Gaim TV and several other outlets.
I didn't even know. I'm getting that.
Yeah. But we have it here, too, as well. We have it at the ranch. I forget plugging my books and videos and all the other things, but I'm probably the worst marketer on the planet. But if people do want to find out more about that, they can just go to eastseti.org and check out all the merchandise there and the books and everything. But
cool.
Really, I want to plug your website too. What's the best way people can get in contact with you and actually make a donation to make sure this gets out?
They can just go to strangerathepentagon.com and then just click on the icon that says Help Fund Short Film. Then there's just different tiers of money that they can donate and get like one-of-a-kind Valiant Thor stuff. We even are releasing his signature, which nobody has ever seen before. So I didn't even know when Dr. Frank was alive. I was helping with something on his computer one day, and I go, look at that. is that his thing? Oh, yeah, you never saw that? So, but they can go there and do that, and then they can just hit the contact button and just email me. And if anybody's interested in checking out the book, The Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial Saga, I Am Taran, the foreword's done by Sylvia Brown, a famous psychic and author. That's just autobiography of anet.com. So that's great. All about the Starseed program coming out of Melchizedek in a Spielberg-Lucas kind of story. So,
uh-huh.
And fully illustrated.
That's
as
great.
Well with,
you know, it's kind of sad because most of the UFO community, they all want to see nuts and bolts, you know. And I always tell them, just go to the hardware store for that, you know. But
yeah.
you're not going to really get the big picture until you really go into the spiritual aspects of it and realize this is a multidimensional process that we're undergoing.
Yeah. And not only that, but then when you get into these wonderful older consciousnesses and things, and you actually see how this technology is built on these spiritual principles and why they work in certain ways that they do, it's quite extraordinary. Like Taran's craft is the metal is made from an organic metal, and it's actually fused with his own DNA. So he's the only one that can actually fly that ship.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot of the plating crafts and searing crafts are made that way too.
And he's a Pleiadian, as a matter of fact. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they can't be stolen.
Yeah, so they can't be stolen. Exactly. So, it's just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
I want one.
yeah. We're up at the end of the hour, unfortunately. But hopefully when this old program comes to an end, we will have these ships and be able to bilocate and do whatever we want, you know, without resistance.
Yes, absolutely. That will happen. That will happen.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, well, you know, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I know we're on the same page, and keep up the great work, and we'll have to get you back on again real soon. I know there's a lot more to the story.
Yeah, thank you so much, James. I had such a blast. And I'll talk to you soon, okay, about that other stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's stay connected, and we'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That's the end of the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. It's good to know we're not alone out there, and we are receiving help, and people are keeping an eye on this chaos happening. And the old program of be the change you want to see, and be the mate you want to be with, and be the God you want to connect to. You know, just it's all about going within and becoming, you know, what you're looking for. So anyway, this is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night. I love